Blog Talk Radio. You might never get another chance to catch it before they find out who's the realest. The name unforgettable. Perhaps you'll be the first to approach this. Who's the realest? Never see eye to eye with the likes of us, cause we're too damn technical. Who's the realest?
Talked about it. Some people.
Peace and greetings, everyone. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Another show, another great night. The rain has finally stopped falling in the Washington, D.C. area. It is cold, very cold outside. Welcome you all. Welcome you all to the show. This is Brother OJ. The topic of discussion today will be, what do you think about love? What does love mean to you? So many of you has asked so many questions regarding what love means, and I'm sure many of you have your own interpretations of what love is. And today we're just going to listen from other people, other groups of folk out there, peers, who have a similar definition, who can explain what they think what love is to them. So here, we're going to see how it goes, and just play it by ear, and hopefully we can get some more folks coming in. We're going to start the show momentarily. Just give me a few minutes to come in. So we're going to keep it on the standby, okay? Now we'll get started. Okay, that was, we gotta give it to Bob Marley for that nice, quiet tone. Okay, so let's get started. Now, first, let me forgive me for being a little late. A lot of things going on today, so we're just gonna get this going. Okay, so what does the word love mean to you? What is your definition of the word love? Before I begin, Anybody can call in. The number here is 347-989-8094. The number is 347-989-8094. And you know, while you're on hold, you can still listen to the show live on the phone. And if you ever needed to speak to the host, you can always dial the appropriate number that the operator will give you. So, what does love mean to me? I can give you my definition. What love really means to me is like an infant child, one who is without prejudice. It is the type of individual that gives you the unconditional love, despite what your life is. He or she doesn't really care. They just look at you. They stare at you. They give you that that look of an awe, And even though for many mothers out there, they want someone that will love them back. And this is sort of like the entity that exists. It's pure. It doesn't have any kind of impurities about it. It basically is living and it's breathing. It is that eclectic way of, it's a eclectic way of saying, wow. It is like you will be in bliss. And for that split second, for that split moment, time just stops between you and your child. So when you look at it that way and you look at the adult, as the adult ages, depending on what home you're coming from, those tendencies start to fade away. And you start allowing the world get the best of you, and you forget who you really are over in the long run. So when you look at this infant, it doesn't know that it loves itself. It doesn't know that it needs something. All it wants is for you to pay attention to him or her. All it wants is caress. They need that nurturing. They need that unconditional, harmonized love. But there's a flip side to the word love. If you flip the names backwards, it's spelled evil. Evil. Now, in so many words, evil has many different synonyms, acronyms, and other types of grammars. You can make a word out of it. You can drop the O, it becomes evil. You can drop the L, and it can become Eve without the E. Now, the interesting part about evil, is that if you put the VE at the end that was missing from the previous letters of Eve, you put include the VE in there, and it becomes evolve. You can say love can evolve. You can change it around. You can be negative about it. You can be positive about it. But one thing I like about the word love is it has a nice balance to it. It's a balance. One part of it is good. The other part is bad to some degree. Now, there's so many words you can mess around with evolve or love. You can say glove. You can say loved. You can say loves, lover, novel. You can say solve, vowel, hovel, or clove, for that matter. So you can make some really good, interesting words from it. You can even make level. You can call it EL. That's what it basically means, God, a god, or a goddess. Or in other different cultures, they call it something differently. You can say, man, that's low. Or you could just abbreviate it the street way and just call it love. With the U instead of the O. So there's so many acronyms that you can mess around with the word love. Where does love really truly begin? love starts with your soul. Your soul is in harmony with the universe. Your soul only knows itself to be of perfection, just like the Creator created the first man and the first woman, in harmony with other planets and pulsating stars out there. Now, one thing I like about harmony is, although it gives certain tones and frequencies out in the universe, you too give off a certain tone also out to the universe. You're a conduit to the harmonization out in the universe. Your hertz start from 174 up to 741. The most popular one, obviously, is the 528 hertz, and that's the heart chakra. A heart chakra is a symbol of love. It's the gateway to higher dimensions. Once you have came from the valley of the death, which is your first three chakras, your root, your sacral, and your solar plexus. All three of those start from your bone, your base bone of the spinal cord, the sacral chakra, which is at the base where your stomach area is, your abdomen, and then you have the solar plexus, which is the two lungs. You ever heard of the breath of fire in the Bible, where here it speaks of how the solar plexus, you know, from your lungs out, you know, breathes fire. And, you know, you come into, come to the heart chakra, and the heart chakra says, okay, you want to come to your higher self, as below, so above. So your higher self above the heart chakra, no longer being what they consider as the dead ones or the animal state level. You begin to chime up to the crown chakra, which is the Calvary, which allows you to be more enlightened and more knowledgeable. And that's pretty much what love is. It's knowledge. It's knowledge is love. Love is knowledge. The more that you know, the more that you become not only protected, but you become more divine. And that's all part of harmony. Love is in all things. It's in everything. It's in matter. It is in, when you get into your car every day. It's when you first see your loved one in the morning, when you go to sleep at night, when you love yourself. But so many of us, so many of the people out there in this society don't love themselves. They do all kinds of things to make their situation worse. People who do drugs, people who have an addiction on liquor, people who love sleeping around. They just like sleeping around, not realizing that their body is a temple. So, on the flip side, you got your twin flame with you. That's one thing about being down here is to find your twin flame. If you find your twin flame, you don't have to ever worry about trying to come back down here because you found someone you love. But you don't necessarily mean that you need to be with that loved one. Your twin flame could be just you. You are bound together as one. You know how to balance the ethers from the physical and the spiritual. And that could be a twin flame. So love has so many definitions. It's what you make of it. So, I'm sure that this is pretty much just going to be a quick show. I wasn't expecting this to be a long one. If we had enough folks here, definitely we would be a little bit longer. But lines are open. You can always give me a call on what you think about what love really truly means to you. So what else can I say about love? Most people think that there should be more good than bad, when actually it should just be a balance between good and bad. You need the bad to do certain things, and you need the good to do certain things. One cannot be with or without another. It's all part of the Hermetic laws, the cause and effect law, the law of polarity, the law of attraction. So let's talk about love in different aspects and how people construe love to be and maybe lead into a situation where they feel that, you know, this is a part of them and no one else can change who they are. And we can talk about the homosexuality, we can talk about gayism, and so forth. All of those factors are pretty much in one category. Now, as a disclaimer, I'm not offending anyone. This is the purpose of Blog Talk Radio, is to speak your mind. You know, speak your mind about what you feel is in your heart. You might be helping someone else in your situation. In this situation here, you have had many different traumas that will cause you to be this particular individual. It's not something you are ever born with. You know, the creator and the creatress, this world wouldn't be the way it is if it wasn't for a man and a woman, a god and a goddess. But somehow, because of our society and the different negatives that goes on with families and different environments, anywhere from raping your loved ones to incest, to trying on certain clothes of a different gender or the same gender, however way you want to look at it. And most of the time it's through experimentation in high school that leads up to that. Some women become, for women, on the feminine side of it. And then the males are also similar to the feminine entities, which are the masculine, the machoism, the so-called I'm free kind of collective. And these are the kinds of people that most straight people, they know deep down that they psychologically have it together and they know the difference. But the gayisms and so forth, in their mindset and from what they see, it's about love from the same party. So there's, different people have their own definition about love. The problem is, which I have a problem with, is when you influence your opinion on someone else or you want to force people to look at your point of view. And when you do that, you're no different from the average man that's stealing from poor people, because that's basically what that is. So I'm going to leave that because that is extremely controversial. That's the equivalent of talking about racism in this country and so forth. Now, that some people would like to call it a psychological problem. Some people would like to call it something different. But like I said, to use your own discernment, your own intuition, and what's right from wrong, and that only you have the answer. You don't need to get it from no one else to know what what someone else thinks of any particular individual. So, we can also talk about relationships. How does that relate to the relationships today? Well, you have a man and a woman, obviously, might love each other dearly, but due to society issues that play on your relationship, that can change depending on who that individual may be, that will allow outside influences to dictate your relationship. Now, I've always had a golden rule. Because just like the harmony is harmonizing with one planet to the next, doesn't necessarily mean that it could be an ugly planet, it could be a fun planet, it could be whatever planet it may be. If you take that principle and you apply it to human beings, you wouldn't have most of the problems that we have today. In fact, there's more hatred out there than there is love. And a lot of times it stems from the person's inner aspect of their reality. So let me explain. Every one of us have our own realities. At least some of us have control of our destiny. What goes on the inside of you would definitely appear on the outside of you. And to most people, they might think of it as, well, if the person is bad in such a way, you might consider him possessed or other things for that matter. But when it comes to love, if the person doesn't have love from within, then how do you expect to love someone else if you don't love yourself? Now, I've explained to you the differences between an animal state level thinking and a divine thinking. Both you need to some degree, as long as you know how to act and how to conduct yourself and be more mature about it. And some of those folks out there are not as mature as they need to be or should be, simply because everything today that you see on TV is about sex, love, money, and cars, whatever. You know, if I have the best car, the nicest car, you know, that's the woman's magnet to get in. And vice versa with the women. So many women today are pretty much, they have to try to compete with the next woman to either get a man or they try to copy from one style to the next. Some women got it, others do not have it. But there's always going to be some sort of copycats. And you see that that's permanent in other races, other cultures, who also witness the same thing. And that's where the interrelationships come into play. Some of the black women are disappointed that black men are going with these Caucasian women. And some black men that are disappointed that they're going with Caucasian men. Truly, I will say that this society is screwed up. And blacks as a whole, Moors as a whole in this country, used to be in one. But you got to think that European who came over and spotted the land by accident came over and disrupted the whole life cycle, including our own, because there was ethnic cleansing, there was destroying of the trees, extracting oil, killing animals, bringing colds and sickness over to this country, yada, yada, yada. And I don't have to keep going to tell you that if what you think is love, is that love or is that evil? And reverse. So when you have man who thinks like that, it's solely up to you to ensure that you block those kind of energies from interfering with yours. So when it comes to relationships, the very first step is to love yourself. If you can love yourself, you do things for yourself, you forgive yourself when you know you're wrong, you go and pamper yourself every once in a while, when you do those kinds of things, that affects your reality, because to other men, they are attracted to that. They love the fact that a woman can take care of herself. They love it when he doesn't have to worry about low self-esteem. Now, to a woman, what they want in a man most ideally is, does he smell good? Does he grooms himself well? Does he go to a nail salon and get his nails done? Which is pretty attractive for most black women out there. Does he dress well? Does he have flavor? Does he have swag about him? Does he have confidence? Does he have a future? Does he have goals? Does he have a business? Is he working? And then actions speak louder than words, especially for both sides, because you can have so much high expectations of what you want in that person, but when just like you think that way, that's how a man is also thinking that way. And the two of you aren't really truly made for each other. The problem is your realities are so screwed up that you don't even see what's really in front of you. You don't even know what's the right man for you or what's not. And there's someone out there that look at what you have and think that what you have is what it is, how you are. So if you're that kind of female that's into materialism like that, you're certainly in the right place, because this whole world, this whole globe is all about materialism. But then there are a few or some that are really catering to everlasting life. They want to be able to have that long relationship. They want to be able to be with that man for life and hope that he doesn't ever have to worry about going and finding something that she lacks outside of that relationship, and vice versa for the man. They want to be able to have everything in that one woman. The man most likely wants a woman, in some cases, I'm only saying some, who basically can cook. Not necessarily like their mothers and grandmothers, but they want to be able to find that special someone, that special kind of skill set that a woman should have. It's rather than a man, massaging the woman's feet, it would be nice for a man to actually receive the massages. In other words, show him a little bit more attention. Just as if you would want from your man, when you come home, you want massages. So basically what I'm saying here is, and I'm just giving examples, is just like you have wants and needs, so does the man want wants and needs. Some wants and needs are different from others. Some are a little bit more high expectations than others. And some are very small. And it doesn't take much to make your mate very happy. All of this is part of love. Love is going the extra mile. Love is basically being competitive with each other to see who can do better. And eventually, when you both are on the same page, there's really no better than I'm this person or better than I'm that person. It eventually balances itself out because you give and take in the relationship. You don't just give. You don't just take. And if it's more take than give, then that's a problem with the individual internally, with themselves, that will take a while for them to understand and experience that they are not the kind of person that you thought they are. And some people can be very blinded by that. Some people can be very blinded. So, that's how love is. Some people love the fact that they like that drama. They love to be yelled at all the time, like a coach, or like a nanny, or someone that would tell them what to do. You have some people that love that. They get a kick out of it. Then you have others that like romance. They like to be the princess, be treated like a princess almost every day. They want to feel like they feel wanted and cared for and be chased after, so that reassures to their mate that person is really still attractive. Some women just have that swag about them. They know what they want. They know what a man wants. It comes automatically to them. Some wear some really interesting exotic clothing that they know that they gotta like that. And then your man comes home and he says, "Wow, I don't have to go to no strip club. I don't have to go to no parties. I got my woman right at home." And that's bliss. You know that you got a good man to appreciate that. And even after you have children, you still have that aspect about you. It doesn't change. Now, there are some relationships tend to get at a central point where, you know, you finally got the person that you wanted and you don't feel like you have to work like you did before, and then everything just falls by the wayside. Neither man or woman that's doing it to their other partner will appreciate that, because when they first met the individual, they were going out from all the time. You would listen to what he or she would speak about, and, you know, laugh, be common, be best friends. It's good to be best friends anyway, because, you know how that person is. You don't, when you get into a relationship, you don't have to worry about starting all over again, because you practically almost know that person's personality, and you know what makes them tick, and you know what makes them smile, and vice versa. So that's what love is about. It's about knowing your mate. You use your intuition. You know if he's in trouble without even picking up the phone to call him to find out. You know that he's near. You know that, your senses is there. And the further you get away, the more stronger the love gets, because you constantly think about that person over and over. And that's sort of like with the infants, mothers or fathers. Infants really care about their mother, and they just can't wait to wake up the next day and give them a hug and kiss and everything else. That's unconditional love. That's what love really truly means to a person. Love is like a rose. It grows it day by day. There's always something that will try to attack it to keep it from growing as full bloom. But once it finally gets at its full bloom, it sprouts out in front of everything that surrounds it, and it makes the environment feel like it's at home. Well, that's sort of like what you are. You're like that rose. You're like that plant that just grows, and the sun just shines right on you, and you get all the energy from the universe. And you're just saying, wow, this is just blissful. And you finally, think your environment positive. You make other people feel like they're at home. And that's a good place to be, a very good place to be. You don't have to ever go anywhere. And then you have some relationships that are, which I've already spoke about before, is competition. Competition in terms of that woman or the other race that want the same thing that the other females have, because that's what most men look at. And I'm speaking of interracial marriages or interracial relationships. A lot of times it's a compensation of what someone's lack, and they can find it in the other individual because it's more acceptable in that race, in that culture. Another good reason for interracial relationships is sometimes it could just click, and nobody can judge that those two individuals. It can be something that doesn't even have to be worried about physical attraction per se. It's just more of it's a soul thing. Those two individuals just click, and they just so happen to work together. And the funny thing is, it's acceptable for all races, but it's rare that you won't get that kind of relationship, because most of the time, especially from what I've seen, most interracial relationships, somehow they always go out at late at night. And I've never for the life of me understood that. Why did they always wait till late at night to go out on a date? Just them two. And I think I have the answer to that. A lot of times the answer is it's not that many people they out late at night. It's so they get so many people that judge them based on their color of their skin. They get so much negative energy coming from the interracial relationships. And a lot of times it's based on the historic references that, black folks have went through during slavery and vice versa. If you went with a black person, you were ridiculed, you were called a lover, you know, or something like that, to that degree. So it leaves a bad taste, and unfortunately, that's part of the American society. That's what people know. That's what people realize. That's the way of life here in America. And I'm sure it's like that in other cultures and other countries. The hatred is strong and just as strong in other locations. So, nonetheless, interrelationships continue to be a struggle and vet. To some, and this is just from my experience, I've seen on, let's just say, we'll just use the Caucasian side. Some Caucasians like the fact that black males treat their black women of royalty. They love the fact that, you know, black women, that they might, you know, they have the different features that a black male wants, you know, like the big booty, big breasts, and things that come with that. So what does a Caucasian woman do? They go and they try to match with what black males like. They get the thick lips. They try to get the implants for the butt and the breasts. And then the Caucasian male, what they like is the sole purpose of that is they like, some of them like to experiment. They just want to experiment and find out what does a black woman have to offer that their Caucasian woman can't offer, cannot offer. Most of the time, it's really about what most black women want. And most of the time, what black women want in those interracial relationships is status. And white men, Caucasian men, have a particular status that most black women are very attracted to. And that seems to be most of the reasons why those interracial couples tend to go on. But the question is there really truly love between both parties? Can you really see that? And just like I said earlier in the show, it depends on the individual itself and what their reality is. If they want someone that's rich, they're going to find someone that's rich. And it really doesn't have to matter about love at all. Let's give you a prime example. Let's take Hollywood. They seem to laugh at love all the time. People just get married just because of status. It's a way of saying, oh, I look good with you, but you know, I'm going to get bored with you later on. So as long as you sign the prenup, that's all that matters to me. I go my very way. I have my money, and you have your money, and that's it. Everything it's all catered to money. But if you alleviate the money situation, would they really say that they really truly love them, you know, each other? When you really don't love yourself, because you can tell how your actions are in the public, and people perceive you differently. It's not a matter of what people say about judgment or whatnot, but it's how you are perceived. What is your actions? Your actions talk louder than words. You know, you have some females, for example, they wear these high skirts, and they try to be such a mature woman out there, and then, you know, you can't help but see guys come and disrespect them, and they say, oh, why are these guys are treating me like this? Maybe because your actions says it a lot differently. And for the guys, you know, some women, you come into a group of females, and, you know, first of all, you're not checking them out fully to see, you know, the kind of females they really are. Are they strong black females? Are they, you know, females that are, you know, that just want, you know, a nice, good conversation? Or are they females that just pretty much want to F, want to fuck? You know, they just looking for the right partner to take out. I don't mean to use that language, but that's just the way it is. You know, are you completely seeing that? And most guys, I will admit, they most most likely look at the physical features before they actually look at the mindset of the person. But if you really think about it, how do you really know if the woman's mind? If you meet that woman for the first time and you've never seen her before, how can you detect if the woman is actually has a good mind on her shoulders? I mean, the right mindset. And the only way you would know is to really conversate with them. And it depends on how you conversate. Because you got some females that are like, hey, you invaded my space. But if you got good confidence, you can make her feel comfortable and you don't have to worry about her. You know, you disrespecting her. You're giving her a good conversation. You're making her laugh. You know, you ask them the right questions. You know, you make your mistakes and say, hey, my fault. I went there. Women love that kind of thing. They love that protector, someone that would just swoop in and, you know, sweep them off their feet. They're a princess. They want us to feel like they're a queen. And that's the way men should treat the woman. And vice versa. Women want to be treated like, you know, they should be able to treat their kings the way they're supposed to treat their kings. If you know how to please your man, then that's most likely something that's internal, something that you know deep down of what your partner. And you know that partner very much. So you know how he ticks, what makes him feel happy, what makes him feel enjoyable. A lot of times you might have to put a little bit of your reality with his to make things blossom even more fuller. So you add a bonus. So that's basically what, you know, that is love, truly, really, truly love. So we're going to take a little small break, and I will be right back, and we'll continue on with the show.
Sunshine.
Okay, we're back. Okay, so I'm going to finish the last leg of the show. So far, no one has any questions out there. The number is to call in is 347-989-8094. That's 347-989-8094. So, the last leg of the show that I want to discuss is love as a whole in terms of the world, the way the world operates, the planet that we live in. When you step out the door, you automatically should know the dimension and your reality that you're in. You can sense when people are being very sincere. You can sense the way you breathe in the air. Are you receiving the proper sunlight? You know, how you get on the bus to go to work, how you drive into work. When you go into work and you greet everyone, you can get a sense of what the atmosphere is like in that room. Love is basically the fifth element. It is the ethers. It balances between fire, water, air, and the earth. And if you think about that, it's all in, you know, all of the elements are well within you. You breathe in fire. You breathe in air. You walk on the earth. And obviously your body is of the earth. And then within the earth is water. You're made of 95% of water. But love is definitely within the heart chakra, which is there. And if you think about that, that's basically the five-pointed star. It is the pulsating star that's well within you. You hold all of those elements within there. And, you know, when you can just feel, use the emotions, but also use the other intuitive mind, which is the right brain thinking. You can telepathically know what's either going to happen next or when there's not. So when you look at things, you look at just people in general, it will tell you how you should operate within the matrix. Now, most of you, if you're listening, you probably are, you know, pretty much are out of the matrix, and you're just trying to identify how to respond. How do you really act in those kind of environments? And the best answer to tell you is you just go with the flow and you listen from within. If you listen from within, you'll find that there's unconditional love between your physical body and your actual higher self, which is your subconscious. And you bring those two together, your higher self will make sure that you are pretty much out of harm's way all of the time. Because it constantly talks to you. It constantly tells you what you ought to do, what you need to do. It's your spiritual guide. No, that is your spiritual guide. You might have your loved ones watch over you. I mean, and their sole purpose is, although that they can just move on to the next life, they want to make sure that you are, you know, well protected. And they want you to make sure that you go in the right path. So that's basically what love is about. It depends on what you describe it as, love and your reality. So I leave here today, and I just want, you know, everyone to, you know, start to love yourself and tell yourself how much, you know, what your day is going to be like. You know, what is it going to, what your surroundings is going to be. You know, your thoughts is pretty much what becomes the reality. The moment you start thinking that, your reality reacts to your thoughts. And then what happens after that is anybody's guess. Your energy can impact either someone's life, or it can impact a different life, or it can impact you in a wrong way. It's just these are how things are. And all of this is basically of from the Mother Nature. This is pretty much part of the feminine principle, is the balancing of the different energies and the different energy planes that make up who you are as a person. So, I hope I gave many of you a better definition of what love is, and, you know, maybe it might have touched someone in a certain way, might have given someone a way of saying, huh, I never thought of that kind of aspect. So, I want you guys to enjoy the rest of your night, and stay tuned for the upcoming emails on what the next topic will be. I knew that this was going to be pretty much a short topic, simply because it's really straightforward. If I had many people on the line, I'm sure that we would have had a nice, good, enjoyable conversation about what their versions of love really means to them. Thank you for coming out. Enjoy the rest of your night, and may peace be with you.